Welcome to Snooze, a podcast dedicated to sleep and learning all about it. Whether it's sharing experiences, discussing disorders, cultures, habits, rituals, the goal is to open the conversation about sleep and the many ways it affects our lives. This is the first episode of my first ever podcast, and this episode is going to be about narcolepsy, a condition that's often misunderstood and misrepresented. Being narcoleptic myself, I felt that it was important to open up about it, but keep in mind that this is my experience and I'm not speaking for every narcoleptic. So if you're here because you also have narcolepsy, you know someone who does, or you're simply curious, I thank you for listening to me and I hope my story may resonate with you and or provide you with some insights into the world of narcolepsy and the world of sleep disorders and sleep in general. 9 years ago, I began experiencing the first symptoms of narcolepsy. I didn't know what it was at the time, and I spent the following years feeling completely lost and frustrated, wondering what the hell was happening to me. 2 years ago, I was officially diagnosed with narcolepsy by a doctor. 8 months ago, I began taking a treatment for it. And for these past years, I have found myself having to explain what that meant, what narcolepsy was, to almost every person that I told about it. Sometimes I even had to explain it to people in the medical field, and that was pretty frustrating. What exactly is narcolepsy? It's a neurological disorder that affects the brain's ability to control sleep-wake cycles. The percentage of narcoleptics is estimated to be about 1 in 2,000 people. This is probably lower than the actual number of people who have narcolepsy, considering the public's lack of awareness about it and the time that it takes to get an official diagnosis. For example, I only got my diagnosis 2 years ago, but all the years before that, I was still narcoleptic and I was not officially diagnosed, so I didn't count as someone who was narcoleptic. Symptoms of narcolepsy include excessive daytime sleepiness, disruptive nighttime sleep, sleep paralysis, hallucinations, vivid dreams, brain fog, automatic behavior, and cataplexy. I will go into more details for each of them, but I want to first mention that there are two types of narcolepsy. There is narcolepsy type 1, which includes cataplexy as a symptom, and type 2, which doesn't. The majority of narcoleptics are type 2, so cataplexy isn't actually a super common symptom, but speaking for myself, I'm type 1, so I have cataplexy. So what cataplexy is, it's something that happens when a strong emotion triggers a sudden muscular weakness. For example, whenever I'm laughing just because my friend told a joke or I saw a funny video, or if I start getting a bit too excited about something, I usually need to sit or find the nearest wall to avoid falling down. I also feel my head drop, my face muscles get weak, I struggle to keep my balance or to keep a grip on whatever I'm holding. I have burned my leg many times because I dropped coffee as I was laughing, and I also dropped my phone many times. So it feels a bit like your body suddenly becomes very soft, like cotton. You know, like you're turning into a sort of ragdoll. And that means that I always have to be careful and keep some sort of control over my emotions to avoid triggering my cataplexy or to try to put an end to it. Excessive daytime sleepiness basically means that you get very sleepy during the day, you have a tendency to doze off at random moments, like in transports, in class, at work. For me, for example, I slept through probably half of my classes and my lectures through middle school and then high school and then university. I think I even fell asleep during some exams. I somehow succeeded in my studies despite not really remembering much about them and having slept through half of it, maybe even more. I always had to rely on my classmates to keep me updated about what was going on, what we were supposed to do. That was pretty difficult. In the more recent years, I even had sleep episodes in more unexpected contexts, like during a concert, in a music festival, or in the middle of the dance floor in a club. These moments are always a bit strange. They usually happen because I force myself to stay longer than my body can take, because, you know, I don't want to miss out on the fun, I don't want to force my friends to go home early. So instead I stay and I keep dancing, but at some point I enter what we call automatic behavior that I mentioned before as a symptom. So that means that I will enter a sleep episode but somehow still continue with my current activity. But I'm not really aware of what I'm doing and I have no memory of it afterwards. This also happens to me a lot during lectures when I'm taking notes. I would often keep writing on my paper in my sleep, but of course that meant that my notes were just a bunch of scribbles, random waves and lines, which made them completely useless. And automatic behavior usually happens for an action that is kind of repetitive, so taking notes or dancing in a club or some examples of that. And sometimes it can also make me get pretty confused between real life and dream. Sometimes I have memories about things and then I realize that this isn't actually true and that this was just a dream. And this can even happen when I'm sleeping during the day. For example, it happens to me sometimes during class. So I will follow a lecture, but I will fall asleep, and so I will kind of enter a dream state, and whatever's happening around me is gonna start to transform. Whatever the lecturer or the teacher is saying will suddenly become a completely other speech, but somehow it's still their voice and I'm still following, and it still feels like I'm taking my lecture like normal. And I also have this funny anecdote about that. And I had this lecture about graphic design or something. And so the teacher was showing us a slide and they were presenting some different artists. But I very quickly lost focus on the lecture and I just started dozing off. And as usual, I entered this sort of dream space where I somehow still followed the lecture, but it was a different lecture. And at some point they show this picture of this place in Paris that I have been to. And I hear the teacher asking, who has been to this place? Who can tell me about this place? And so, you know, in my mind I'm like, oh, I know this place. I can answer that question. So I put my hand up. Then I hear the teacher calling my name. And at the same time my classmates elbows me. And this caused me to wake up. And then I look at the board and I see that whatever was there about this place in Paris is not there at all, and it's a completely different thing. It's a random artist that I have never seen before, and they just asked if someone can tell them about this artist. And then I realized that I actually really raised my hand and that nobody else did, and so they're actually waiting for me to give an answer. And everybody's watching me and the teacher's waiting, and I take a few seconds, you know, to go back to reality. And I think I just sort of mumbled an excuse like, oh yeah, I know this artist, but I only heard of him, like I'm not really sure. And I managed to get away with it, but I still think that it's pretty funny that I was ready to answer a question that nobody asked and that wasn't even real. But on a good note, it usually made teacher unaware that I was sleeping, since I just had my head down but I was actively writing things, so it didn't look like I was asleep at all. I was rarely told by my teachers to wake up, to stop sleeping. I'm not sure if it's because they never noticed or if it's because they decided to ignore it, but I think that deep down I would have actually loved for a teacher to try to ask me what was going on. I think I was too ashamed and too scared to talk about it myself. So if you're a teacher and you have a kid like this in one of your class, you should reach out to them if you can, because maybe they're waiting for it. Maybe they're like me. And if you're a kid and you are dealing with this, don't be scared to talk to a teacher. I spent my whole education being scared of that, and I think I kind of regret it at the end. The thing with narcolepsy, it's that there is no cure for it, and you're just gonna live with it for your entire life. The only thing that you can do is take a treatment that's gonna tone down the symptoms for the day. But if you don't take it the next day, then narcolepsy is back full time. You just have to live with all of these symptoms that I mentioned before. So the excessive sleepiness, the disrupted nighttime sleep, the brain fog, the sleep paralysis, the hallucinations, the cataplexy, difficulties to just generally focus and stay awake. That makes every single simple task really exhausting. Another thing that's not talked about a lot is how isolating narcolepsy is, because there is not much of a chance that you will have people around you who also have narcolepsy. So being narcoleptic often means being quite lonely, but lonely in the sense that you don't feel like anyone around you understands how you feel, and there's nobody you can relate to around you. Now that I'm older and I'm taking my treatment, I'm not really struggling with that anymore. But when I was a teen, it was really hard because I just kept bottling up a lot of frustration and anger, and I was just very hard on myself because I was not able to focus in class and my grades were going down. I couldn't go out with my friends as much as I wanted to, so I felt like I was missing out on a lot of things. And so I had conflicts with school, with my parents, sometimes with my friends or with myself. And I just kept building up all that frustration and anger. But then I saw doctors and I got my diagnosis. This feeling of misunderstanding and frustration would sometimes get so intense that before I got my diagnosis and before I was really sure about what narcolepsy was, I would look up stuff online, and I remember a few times I read articles or stories about narcolepsy and they were sharing what they were going through, and just reading that, I just wanted to cry because I felt like this is exactly what I'm going through and finally someone gets it. The community that I found comfort in was the subreddit for narcolepsy, and I finally found some understanding and some solidarity with a community that know what I'm dealing with, and that was actually really helpful. I think it's important that we just all feel less scared to communicate, because our sleep is so important and has a crazy impact on everything that's going on with our body and our brain, and it's not just something that we can put aside because it's not going to work on the long term and we're going to just explode if we do that. And so that's also why I'm making this podcast, because I really want to open the conversation about narcolepsy and sleep disorders and sleep in general, and I want all of us to feel less lonely in our experiences. So I will probably make another episode going into details about getting a diagnosis, starting a treatment. I can't talk about everything related to narcolepsy in one episode, and I definitely want to make more episodes in the future. And even if there are other things that are related to narcolepsy or not, anything even related to sleep that you want me to talk about, or even you want to talk about and you want to be a guest in my show, you're very welcome to reach out to me. There is an email address in the description, and yeah, I hope I hear from you, and I hope that you learn some interesting things about narcolepsy. Thank you for listening to me until the end, and I hope you have a nice day.